From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Friday edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Palm, Neil McCready, Clark Ford Studio this morning. I put a message board post up yesterday, a bit of a fire away Friday today. I've run through some questions. Some of you did a decent job. Some of you are terrible as usual, but we appreciate every single one of you, even the bad question askers. We'll get to a few throughout today.
We appreciate some show. More than others.
We do.
I mean, it's not an equality thing, if we're honest.
It's not all. Everybody gets one vote.
I'd love to be the guy that says I view everyone equally.
You don't?
It would be dishonest. I don't.
You done?
Yeah.
Okay. As you are coming into town, maybe the weekend, leaving for the weekend, stop into the Oxford Exxon and sign up for Speed Pass Plus. That allows you to pay right there at the pump using your mobile device off the app. It is an easy-to-use app that saves you money. It also lets you not have to worry about credit card skimmers, identity theft, any of those things that will hit you a little bit in today's society. So SpeedPass Plus, use it at all Credical locations throughout Mississippi. And again, coming to you from the Clark Ford Studio.
We are. Clark Ford is in Amory, Mississippi, 662-257-1900 is that number. You call it. Ask for my friend Corey Clark. Tell Corey what you're looking for. He'll send you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours. It's simple as that. He'll get you the quotes. You can ask for a quote on a couple of vehicles if you'd like. He'll send those quotes to you. When you get the quotes, there's no haggling. There's no hassle. He's going to give you a quote right to the bottom line. It's going to save you a lot of time. Can save himself a lot of time. You get the quote, and from that point, you can shop it around. You can study it, research it, all that stuff. That's your time. Do what you want with it. Or you can go ahead and let Corey and the people at Clark Ford do for you what they've done for so many other listeners of this podcast, self-included, and that's take the hassle out of the everyday car buying experience. You get a great Ford product, tremendous service after the sale, and no hassle, no haggle, just nice and easy, very pleasant, in fact. All that at Clark Ford in Amory, 662-257-1900. At the end of your deal, tell Corey that you heard about Clark Ford on the podcast. You can mention this podcast, the Beer Garden, the Saul Ferbel. You can mention the Greatest Pod in the South, which just got posted one late yesterday. Mention any of those, and it's $500 off the bottom line on your deal at Clark Ford.
So, right, really no Ole Miss news whatsoever. In the last 24 hours, final day of the draft is now complete as well. Parker Gracie said he was coming back to school. We knew Parker Gracie was coming back to school. Had he not wanted to come back, he'd have been drafted much higher than I think the 37th round, something like that, when somebody snagged him. Almost wonder if he might profile as a starter down the road. I'm just kind of thinking out loud a little bit. But anyway, he's coming back. Early word on Ryan Olenek is that he's probably going to return. However, when you're drafted the 17th round, you kind of have to wait it out to see where money goes in either direction, one way or the other. So while I think he's coming back, it's impossible to know for 100% sure right now. So
I'll tell you that I think Corretzio, every time I watched him, I thought I'd stretch him out and make him a starter.
Yeah. No, there's some reasoning to think that would make a lot of sense.
Like, I would do that. If I were Ole Miss, I would contemplate doing that this fall.
Yeah, just to see what it looks like.
See what he looks like.
He's not playing this summer. He can rest his arm. He'll be fine in the fall, and you do whatever.
Because he was a guy that 55, 60 pitches in was still pretty strong.
Yeah. He could sit 91, 92 at 55, 60 pitches.
I would stretch him out to 95 pitches and see what it looked like.
Yeah.
Especially given the fact that he kind of pounds the zone some.
Yeah. James MacArthur almost assuredly going to go. He was drafted in the 12th round. I think I had that one right. Clubs had tagged him as a use the extra money from earlier in the draft to pay him in the 12th round. He probably would get a couple hundred grand, 250, 300, something like that. There in the 12th, I think he'll sign. And then Dallas Wolfolk, obviously the Ole Miss closer who left the team in the middle of the season, he was drafted in the 13th round. He's going to go. It's really his only option. They're definitely not going to have to overpay. They can give him anything and see what happens, see if he finds some form, see if he figures some things out. But anyway, that's kind of where I see it. I posted about it a little bit on the board at rebelgrove.com last night. saw the Hattiesburg paper had another story on Joe Gray. He was, in fact, going on a cruise, but they talked to him before he left. He was fishing and said that no decision been made. Negotiations will be next week. They've got to up their number a little bit, and he's probably going to be willing to come off his a little bit. Again, I still think it gets done, but that's where we stand as of right now. So, anyway, there you go. There's your rundown.
Hey, Olenek's one of those guys that just has to decide.
Do you like college, period?
Yeah, do you like college? Do you like college?
That's the question.
Because they'll give him a cup of coffee in a year.
Of course. A couple years.
Yeah.
Probably even a little more than that, because they might try to throw him for a little while, then let him play infield for a little while.
Yeah. But I meant the signing bonus cup of coffee.
Yeah.
This is his leverage year.
Yeah.
Next year, someone's going to say, hey, we'll give you $5,000.
Yeah. Take it or leave it.
Yeah. We'll throw in a Starbucks gift card. This is the year that you have a little leverage, but I don't know.
But not a ton.
Not a ton. And, you know, I was talking, I'll leave names out of it. I was talking to someone the other day whose son is a borderline professional athlete.
Okay.
He's finished with college. Bright kid. Has a successful future in front of him.
Okay.
And is trying to decide, do I chase this dream for a year, 2 years, knowing there's a chance it's failure? And failure is a word that should be, in this case, italicized, because it doesn't really mean failure. I don't think if you chase your dream and don't get it, that constitutes failure. It just means you didn't get it. Or should I just start school, start my career, get started with my earning potential?
Right.
And I was like, I don't know. I mean, what's 1 year when you're 22 years old?
I know a lot of guys that know they're not going to be professional baseball players, but they go, hey, I still get this chance to experience something. I'm going to do it for a year. I know I'm not going to succeed, but I'm still going to do it, say I did it, and then I'll move on with my life.
And then for all of those guys, one of those guys becomes Ben Zobrist.
Yeah.
Who was done.
It just sort of works out.
He was done. And his high school coach called him and goes, hey, you ought to go to this tryout. And he was like, eh, I don't know. I think he was about to start seminary school.
Really?
And he was like, I don't know. I kind of have plans. And the guy was like, what's one Saturday? It's one Saturday. Just go spend one Saturday playing baseball.
Okay.
Next thing you know, he's two-time champ, World Series MVP. He's played in the majors. He's 37, still playing in the major leagues. That's rare, and there's a reason that's a story.
Carried Chase Palmer to a fantasy league title about 10 years ago because he played every position known to man. You could move him around, and he was the baseball cheat code of Marcus Colston being a tight end there for a season.
Yeah, he certainly had a lot of fans in this house one night.
Yeah.
In November of 2016.
So.
I've got the jersey to prove it.
You have a Zobrist jersey?
I do. I cut one of those deals with the big baseball gods in the sky.
Ben Zobrist, Jock Jones.
Yeah, Jock Jones was more of a desperate kind of a deal.
Okay.
Ben Zobrist was basically, I was talking to my friend Jose that night on the phone, and I said, if we win, whoever the MVP is, I swear I'll buy the jersey within 24 hours.
And you did?
I did.
Where's it at?
Hanging in that closet somewhere.
You ever worn it?
I don't think I've ever worn it.
I mean, not?
I don't think I ever have. I'm not a big jersey wearer.
Well, no.
But I promised, and that's the reason they won. So there you go.
So there you go.
Had I not bought the jersey after he was MVP,
they would not have won.
Something would have happened. There would have been a scandal. It would have been stripped.
So you think you were saving the Cubs' karma?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, you'll make a lot of deals in the moment. I mean, you know, this.
Just a big believer. If you make the deal, live up to the deal.
Don't break your scene to the deal.
Don't tempt the baseball gods.
you see the baseball gods as like the big Santa Claus in the sky with a nice and a naughty list and the team they cheer for next to them. And,
there's a lot of that.
Yeah.
You know, the baseball gods go, you know, he made a deal. He said if we let the Cubs
like
win.
In free agent with Ohtani, it's like, okay, how many Cubs follow through on their deal? Well, what the Angels do when they won it the last time? Okay, where are
I'd
we
I'd love
here?
To know, because I promised the baseball gods I would buy an Ohtani jersey.
So you
and actually, I have bought an Ohtani jersey because my son is obsessed with him.
All right.
He'll say, "Dad, did you see what Shohei did?" And I'm like, "I can't really watch it yet. I'm not there yet. It's still the girl that broke your heart." And you're saying, "Hey, Dad, can you watch her kiss another guy?"
Oh, you're no, still struggling really. With Ohtani?
I'm okay, but I don't like watching him. It when he does really well, I'm glad for him. I wish him no ill will, but I think God he would have.
You see him and the Angels out at your favorite restaurant, and you might have to leave. Can't walk over to their table quite yet.
No, I'm not there yet.
Can't do the pleasantries and tell them how happy you are to see them and stuff.
I still picture him in the blue jersey with.
You got all the pictures up in the box somewhere in the attic.
Yeah, and still on a drunken Friday night, I pull them out and cry over them. Ooh. Yeah, yeah. Not over it yet.
Okay.
Wish him well, but not over it yet.
You never had him, though.
I know, and that's what makes you allows you to wish him well. There was a 24-hour period where I thought, oh,
this
gosh,
is the girl you that just turned you down. This is not the
this was the girl. Yeah, this was the girl that said, "Let me think about it," and then said no.
Yeah, okay, that's fair. Might have even, basically said they'd go to prom with you and then canceled it later, something like that.
Something like that. She might have even said, "I think so. Let me see if anybody else is going to ask me."
It's a scary, scary answer.
Yeah.
Such is life. Are you saying?
It happens. Well, maybe. Let me see what else is out there.
You know you're screwed at that point.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty much.
Yeah.
There's about 10 other guys that I was thinking. I was kind of hoping they would ask. If none of them do, I'll go with you, because I'd rather go with you than not go at all. But
I mean, it's
this might be it's or might like not be. I mean,
it's a form of capitalism in a way. It is.
And when you're guy number 11, you just there's not much you can do about it. You just wait and see.
Yeah. All right. I don't even know if you're going to have an answer here, but because of our IHOP thing yesterday, I still have to ask it. And this doesn't mean every single day, just whenever you would like it. You're okay. Stuck eating one pizza chain the rest of your life. What do you got?
Of the chains, right?
Yeah. You can't go, well, so-and-so in Chicago. No, I'm not.
Pizza Hut.
Yeah.
Because I like their thin crust pizza.
Their thin crust is good. Meat Lovers is solid. I'm good.
Yeah.
I can make it work. I even kind of like their cheese sticks. They're kind of greasy. You got to pat them off, but it's doable.
Yeah, I mean, if
I used to be a bigger fan of Papa John's than I am now, and I hate Domino's. So
I don't like Domino's. And I'll be honest, and if you're listening out there, I'm sorry. I think Papa John's has slid.
You just think it slid. Now, I've only had it once in the last 5 years, probably, I'd be honest.
Well, I mean, I've lived in a house full of kids and pizza parties and stuff. And so you get to sample the different pizzas. Now, nothing's worse than Little Caesars.
Well, it's hot and ready for $5. What are you expecting?
Yeah, it's not even worth $5.
It's not even Chili's.
Oh, no. It's not even Applebee's.
Okay. Ooh. You don't think Little Caesars is the pizza equivalent of Applebee's?
No. Applebee's as a whole is better than that.
Okay.
Which is saying nothing. Pizza Hut's my answer. If you told me I could only have Pizza Hut thin crust, I'd be depressed, but I wouldn't be. It wouldn't be devastated. It's okay.
All right. Continues on yesterday, and I'm going to put a caveat on this one, okay?
All right.
I'm going to take out any religious answer, okay?
Okay.
What is the most significant event in the history of the human race?
Ooh.
You can't say Jesus' birth or something like that. I'm taking away spirituality stuff. I mean, just man. What do you got?
Ben Zobrist double down the left field line. I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Chris Bryant not slipping and falling on the ball to third base.
Yeah, Bryant's throw to third when the ball sails just a minute. And you're, oh, God, no. And then it gets in Rizzo's glove.
Yeah.
I'm glad I was drunk when that happened, by the way, because I think that split second would have finished me.
Okay.
I was too drunk to notice that his foot slipped. Most significant moment in the history of the world?
Human race, yes. I mean, look, there's a lot of answers here. I'm just having you pick one as we move on with our day.
I mean, some of the things that come to mind are like...
The entire... Look.
Jonas Salk, the polio vaccine.
Okay.
Saved millions of lives.
Yeah, medical marvels along those lines. I'm good with any of that. And I'm sure, look, I get there's 10 things we're forgetting. It's just off the cuff here.
Yeah. I'm trying to think what immediately comes to mind.
I mean, as far as society-wise... You could argue with multiple things in World War II changing the path of the world.
Well, there's no question about it.
I mean, playing off yesterday.
You wouldn't be arguing. You would be stating facts.
Yeah.
If the Allies don't win World War II, we are living in a different world.
Yeah.
A much more vicious world.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a couple of tip-offs that Hitler was pretty evil. You know? He wanted to eradicate the Jewish race. That's probably a sign that he wasn't balanced. I don't know. That's fascinating.
Okay. I'll let you think about it a little bit. Maybe this is something we will transition into is the months change. We're still in the very hot months right now, but have you gotten a wind of whatever is good with the chicory liqueur from Cathead? I use it as a Bailey's, just a coffee after dinner drink, because I like those things. Not every day, but I do get in the mood where I want a little hit of a liqueur in my coffee at night.
Yeah, it's great with coffee, obviously.
I think Jay just drinks it straight.
I've had it straight now and like it straight.
Really?
Yes.
See, I don't see the purpose.
Well, it's just it's kind of an after dinner drink. It's instead of a brandy.
Okay.
But I like Kahlua straight.
Do you really?
Yeah.
It's thick and...
I like Kahlua straight.
Ugh.
Or drizzled on some ice cream.
Well, that's not the same thing.
I know it's not, man. That's good stuff.
I mean, it's like you saying, well, I like chocolate syrup straight or drizzled on some ice cream.
Ice cream for me is the one weakness thing. Like, I get mad when ice cream's in the house. I'd rather give the kids $10 and just go buy it. Go buy some ice cream and eat it there. Or bring it home in your individual cup that I won't steal the kid's ice cream. But if there's a pint of it in the house, and because I'm typically the last person up 10:30 and I was watching a game and maybe I had just a little too much cab and I think I'm kind of hungry and I look in there and there's ice cream.
That's the hard close the door.
That's a 10:30 in the morning, 10:30 at night. Guard is down. That's a weak spot. That is
what flavor?
Oh, damn near any flavor.
Really?
That's my problem. Because you can give me plain vanilla, and if I'm gonna have it, I start thinking, well, I could put some Nutella on it. I could put some peanut butter on it. I could put some Kahlua on it. And the next thing you know, we're all
you've got
to
a
the
sundae
races.
Out here. That's
yeah. I've crushed up some pretzels and put some peanut butter on there and drizzled some, and then I wake up the next day and I'm like, okay, well, I'm gonna have to go run 31 miles. And then I have this, I struggle, and it's so ice cream in the house, for me, is the beginning of a very vicious cycle. Just don't buy it.
Okay.
And, like, my problem with, like, Halo Top and stuff is that I'll get started on it, and I can't stop.
Well, the entire thing is only 280 calories or something.
Oh, I know, but I'll eat one, and then I'm looking for another one. Ice cream for me is
just... A couple flavors of that are okay. A couple of them taste like manufactured chemical mess.
Yeah.
A couple are fine.
Thank God I'm not crazy about it.
Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah, there's a couple that are okay.
Now, in that category, it's by far the best. The other stuff in that category, like I think there's an Arctic Zero or something, too.
Yeah.
Awful.
Yeah.
But Halo, you can trick yourself into it being ice cream if you'd like. The vanilla's okay. I think it's like the black cherry or something. It's okay.
There's like a caramel macchiato flavor that's pretty good.
Okay. Don't know. I think I've tried the chocolate chip and it was okay.
I'll tell you what's damn good
uh-huh.
is that it's a gelato.
You could stop there. Gelato is
butter,
good.
It's a peanut butter chocolate fudge gelato.
I'm shocked.
God.
Really? Oh. I don't know. Chocolate, peanut butter, basically made into an ice cream is good.
Oh, my. It's beyond good.
All right.
If you told me you got a week left, I'm loading up on that.
Yeah. That and beef and red wine.
Yeah.
Just over and over and over and over again.
And bourbon. Yeah. Just done.
Somebody asking about the scholarship thing. Yeah, everybody gets 11.7. Schools with lottery scholarships can use said lottery scholarships at their advantage. Now, it has to be available to the entire student body population.
And that's the problem.
Yeah. Vanderbilt has an exception because they're a private school, and essentially they can do whatever they'd like to do. They can do a lot of case-by-case scenarios that allow them to have 47 scholarships for 35-man roster.
And this is why Jim Schlossnagel is still the coach of Texas Christian.
Yeah. So that's it. Alabama, Mississippi do not have lotteries. They do not have education scholarships.
We've covered the hell out of scholarships to a point where, frankly, people either believe it or don't.
Yeah.
They're either vehement about it or they're not.
Okay.
It does appear that legalized gambling is going to pass in Mississippi.
Uh-huh.
A lot of people ask this question. I know you don't know the answer. If it passes, when it passes,
does it help?
Is that going to lead to any change in higher education in Mississippi?
I've been given no indication that it will, but that's all I got. That'd be an Austin Barber question. That'd be somebody else other than me. I have not sensed any optimism that would create that stream. No.
Because whatever you create for baseball players,
it's period.
You have to create it for engineering majors too.
Yeah, it's everyone. You would set a high school success criteria that would then benefit you at in-state public universities is the way it would work.
And I don't know that for whatever reason or reasons, and this is not a criticism. This is literally a statement of I don't know. I don't know that the Mississippi public schools really want to get into the business of discounting.
Well, you know, state offers some things Ole Miss doesn't. They're very similar. State doesn't have some huge advantage over Ole Miss. But there are some counties and some scenarios where they will waive out-of-state tuition under certain parameters. Well, because they do that student body-wide, it works for the baseball program as well.
Occasionally.
Yeah, right. Here's the kicker. Ole Miss doesn't want to do that and doesn't need to do that academically. So they're not going to sacrifice thousands upon thousands of dollars in an academic hit to help the baseball program. Right, wrong, or indifferent. That's where that is.
Right. So, that was kind of my point.
Yeah. No, it's got to be something. I mean, Vanderbilt as an institution goes, no, we're going to do this to help the baseball program and all other equivalency sports as well, but baseball is by far the most popular.
It's why when people say that the schools are the same, I can tell you as going through the college deal with the high school kid who's about to start her senior year. That deal that Arkansas has, Chase?
Yeah, bordering states.
It's a difference maker. It is a decision. It is a difference maker on your decisions. I'm telling you, it is.
Yeah, it's a huge benefit to the University of Arkansas.
If you have a 24 on your ACT, and a lot of baseball players do, you get I think it's like 60% off of out-of-state tuition.
Oh, minimum.
And if you, as your ACT increases, and again, there are a lot of baseball players that make 26s, 27s, 28s on their ACT. A 28 is 80% of your out-of-state tuition at Arkansas is waived.
A lot.
I've gone through it. I mean, I'm doing it now. I mean, that is – so when you say as a fan, well, that's not an excuse – allow me as a parent to explain to you that, yes, it is. And I'm not a poor parent. We do okay. So if I say one school's offering because of a border state to waive 90 to 100% of out-of-state tuition and another school isn't, boys and girls, that's why when people do this, you guys are making excuses for Bianco. Let me let you in on something. I like Mike Bianco, what I know of him. I don't know anything negative about him. I like him a lot. Everything I've seen about he and Cammy, his parents, I find it to be admirable. He's been nothing but nice to me. My Bianco and I have never had a conversation of any significance at all. Not because we don't like each other or something. We just have never really crossed paths. I think he's a really nice guy. But I'm not motivated to make excuses for Mike Bianco. We're not friends or anything. We're friendly. But no, I'm not. But I can look at the situation and say, hey, he's not playing on the same playing field with the cat at Arkansas or with Corbin, for God's sake. Or with the guys at Florida who are in a talent-rich state.
And they have bright futures. It's not a huge benefit, but it's a benefit.
And the top system is getting altered at LSU, but over the past 20 years or 15,
it's going to hurt LSU.
18 years or whatever that Mike's been at Ole Miss competing against LSU, that's been a significant thing.
Yeah.
If you're a kid from Alexandria and you're deciding between LSU and Ole Miss, well, financially, LSU's going to make a hell of a lot more sense.
Yeah. Continue in 1 minute. First State, the podcast brought to you in part by Community Mortgage, Oxford, Memphis, Soto County, and Chattanooga. All underwriting and processing is done in Memphis. You're getting local underwriting and understand your market, a leader in condo financing and the float down option. So you can find Jason at 662-234-2704 or JLO, JLOWE, at communitymtg.com.
The podcast is also brought to you by Harry Alexander. Harry is an Oxford based REMAX Legacy Realty agent. He's been in Oxford more than four decades. No one knows the residential and condo market better than he does. Go to his site. He'll prove it to you. It's harryalexander.com. Click on the Properties and Neighborhoods tab. Filter through by what you're looking for. Then send him an email. It's ha@harryalexander.com. Harry does not sell real estate in the Metroplex, the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex, but Lauren Valick Ferris does. If you are moving to or living in Dallas, go to Lauren for your real estate needs. She's with Briggs Freeman Sotheby's. She specializes in East Dallas, but has a network that extends throughout the DFW Metroplex. She's consistently ranked as a top agent producer in D Magazine, was recently named a 2017 Advocate Top 10 Realtor in the Lakewood East Dallas area. So whether you're moving home, buying, selling, or referring a friend in one of the hottest housing and job markets in the country, you need a realtor who knows the town. You need Lauren, 469-867-1734. Or go to her site, laurenandkelly.com. The podcast is also brought to you by Gambrell & Associates. Gambrell & Associates have three attorneys with more than 60 years of combined experience and more than 45 years handling only bankruptcy and Social Security disability claims. Check out their site, msbnkr.com, or by searching for Robert Gambrell on superlawyers.com or avvo.com. Superlawyers only selects the top 5% of lawyers in the state. So you know you're getting a great one when you get Robert Gambrell. Gambrell & Associates handle Social Security disability claims statewide and in Memphis. For more information, call the office in Hernando, 662-342-7700, or in Oxford at 662-281-8800.
All right.
When you're laughing before the question, I'm almost scared.
No, it's not about the question. You'll have to ask me later. I can't do it on the show.
Okay.
I got a text message. That in and of itself is not funny. That happens a lot, but
the content of the text.
Yeah. I'll tell you. All right. Moving on.
Okay.
Let's see, if Mike were to become AD, who would be the hire to replace him? Well, I can't answer that. If I were the athletic director, or I was making the decision. Let's see.
We're replacing the baseball coach now?
We are replacing the baseball coach. But we're replacing him with Mike as the AD. So there's
because
no
we just
issues.
Fired Ross Bjork for no reason?
Apparently.
Okay.
And apparently, even though Mike's the AD, he's not getting to make the decision. I'm still getting to make the decision even though he's the AD. So.
Okay.
Does that understand? Basically, Mike decided he was going to do a hiring committee, and he just called me and said, you make the hire. It's worse people they could call. But
I was going to say. John Cohen should have called.
All right.
Well, State's got one more day to hire me. I'm taking my name out tomorrow.
Because you already threw Nashville tomorrow. So,
mm-hmm.
Duh, everybody would do this, and it's the right thing to do. You make Dan McDonald say no. It's fine.
Okay.
Because that's what Jeffrey said yesterday, and he's exactly right. Like, I'm making fun of Cohen throughout this process because of the boisterous way he went about it, about how he has killed himself PR-wise for no reason. And just the overall cockiness that was really stupid. It's not about going to try and find the best coach. Get turned down 17 times. I don't care.
Just do it privately.
Yeah, right. So you make McDonald's say no. I would be intrigued by Godwin. Everybody would, but that makes a lot of sense. I get why that. I really like Chris Lemonis in Indiana. He's a McDonald disciple. He's coached at a place that doesn't have a ton of resources. Ole Miss would be a huge increase for him in that standpoint. He was a 2 seed this year. He always puts good programs together. I think you do need some familiarity on staff, and it's probably likely he would bring Kyle Bunn back. I think he'd do a nice job. I think Kyle got railroaded in his previous positions. That's my three, and then I'd kind of branch out from there. But I think McDonald, Godwin, Lemonis would be my top three to replace Mike. Because, I mean, again, you're wasting your time when you go, let's go grab Ryan O'Connor. Like, okay, but I just killed 3 days for no reason. So, or 5 minutes, frankly, but either way.
Yeah, that's the call you make, and you say, are you interested? I'm assuming you're not.
Yeah, but I'm doing my due diligence.
I'm doing my due diligence. And here's my next question. If you were in my shoes, who would you hire? Three people you would talk to?
Yeah.
That's the calls I would make. If I were an AD.
Yeah. You're not taking it, but.
Yeah, I mean, if my football job opened up.
Yeah.
I'm calling Alabama, and I'm telling Nick Saban, I want you to know that if you want the job here, it's yours right now. I'm assuming you're happy. Who would be three people that if you were in my shoes, you would want to talk to? And then I'm doing that with Urban Meyer. I'm doing that with Chris Peterson. And I'm putting together, oh, those three guys all named the same dude.
Yeah.
I'm going to talk to that dude. It's not complicated. I'm doing that in volleyball. I'm doing it in women's soccer, in anything. If I'm an AD, that's how I would do my job.
Yeah. We got off the podcast a few minutes yesterday. We're blown away that Cliff Godwin publicly took his name out of the running at Mississippi State University.
I did not see that coming. I didn't. I had no way possible that I would have possibly known that Cliff Godwin had already told Mississippi State no.
And let me say that there are multiple reports out there that no one had an offer. Now, look, there might not have been a contract sitting down on a table.
I'll give you $6 million to $1.
Yeah.
And you can pay it off over 6 years.
Okay.
That there was an offer.
Yeah. Any words that there was not a dollar amount given that would have been – agreed upon if one yes was said is complete and utter crap. 100%.
Yeah.
Guaranteed.
I am 6 million percent certain. And if I'm wrong, I want to pay that off over 6 years.
You do?
Monthly with taxes coming out.
Can I pay it off over 4 in the contract, then we just roll that over twice? Is that okay?
Yeah, we could do a 4-year contract on paying off the debt and roll over a 2-year. Two guaranteed year rollovers.
Okay.
So it's really 6 years.
Yeah, yeah. But we got to ride it a different way.
But legally, it's a 4-year, $4 million offer.
Okay.
I mean, agreement, not offer. God, because there's no offer. Agreement.
No, a state source said there was no offers had been made at this point.
You know what's funny about that? I never understand why that's such a damn big deal. We offered our job to so-and-so. He said no. Okay.
Yeah, McDonald just took the time to learn, quoting McDonald, learn about the Mississippi State program, but no offer. We were just
information session. He got bored. He was in Louisville. He woke up, and he was, what's his wife's name?
I don't even remember, sorry.
Honey.
One of his kids' names is Jake. That's all I got.
Maybe he said to Jake, what are we going to do today? And Jake's like, Dad, I'm going out in the hood to play with my friends.
Yeah.
You don't want to stay here and talk with me? No, Dad. You're boring. I'm going out. I'm going down to John's house.
Yeah.
We're playing wiffle ball. Can I come? No, you're too old. Honey, you want to go shopping? No, I don't really want to hang out with you today. I'm hanging out with the girls.
Yeah.
So you know what I'm going to do? Instead of sitting here and being really depressed and bored, I'm going to research the Mississippi State.
I'm going to call John and go, can you just fill me in on the history of your program?
I was wondering if you might educate me on your program.
I only coached in that state for 6 years, but I'm just curious.
Because I don't know. And after I'm educated, I'm going to issue a press release. Because that makes sense.
That was my favorite on Twitter. Somebody goes, I just don't think we really were high on Cliff to begin with. It's like, okay, so he just got up yesterday and decided to release a statement. Like,
if hypothetically, John Cohen were to say fly out to where Cliff lives and hypothetically sit in his living room and talk to him about the job, does that constitute interest or being high on him or not? Hypothetically, of course.
Yeah, whatever. Okay.
It's the strangest beat. And I'm telling you, there's a lot of strange beats.
Yeah, I'm going to shut up here. I'm frankly a little annoyed by the entire thing the last couple of days for a couple of reasons. So,
well, those people didn't believe you because they didn't want to.
Yeah, that I can't go into this because I can't get too close on sourcing here, but I'm a little annoyed today.
Yeah, I'm doing you no favors by being a jackass right now, but the truth is, when you said that yesterday, you knew what you were talking about.
Yeah.
You didn't make it up. Because it doesn't matter to you if Cliff takes the Mississippi State job.
Yeah, I wasn't.
Good for Cliff.
I have not. It's not like I've been following the Mississippi State search. I don't know who they're hiring. Now, at this point, I think they're hiring Gary Henderson. But I think they're going to make Butch Thompson tell them no. And frankly, I think he's going to tell them no. And then they're going to hire Gary Henderson.
Jay Tate and I talked about this on The Greatest Pod in the South. Jay thinks that he will tell them no. He thinks he's tempted, but he will tell them no. Thinks Auburn has been really good to Thompson. And that he appreciates it. Mm-hmm. And some of the things that State has done sticks in his craw a little. If I'm Henderson, I'm telling him, I'm giving him to the weekend. And then I'm out. I'm going to go do something else. And that includes if I win this weekend.
Really?
Absolutely. If I'm Henderson, I'm telling him before the series starts, by the end of this series, win, lose, or draw, win, lose, or natural disaster, either offer me the job or I'm putting out a release that says I'm coaching this team until this team is eliminated. I'm going
to
be coaching.
I hope we dogpile, and I love these guys to death.
I love these guys to death. I hope we have a big party in Omaha, but however it ends and whenever it ends, that I end with them. Consider me a senior. I'm out.
Yeah.
Bitches.
I'm hanging my jersey up too.
I'm going to find however many seniors we've got. And the last one that walks out, I'm going to walk out right behind him. Win, lose, or whatever. Win, lose, or natural disaster, you've got until Sunday to hire me or not. And I have the press release issued. It's ready to go. I'll pass it out to the beat writers myself. Even the ones with the tattoos and the long hair.
You know it's caused some friction between him and Cohen because, I mean, he's an SEC coach.
He did look
put into a terrible situation.
He did a phenomenal job.
He has. He's a good coach.
Of course he's a good coach.
He and John have nowhere near similar personalities. Gary's very reserved, dry, kind of a sarcastic sense of humor. Can get a little heated, but his just normal voice and day is very dry and calm.
Step in and scandal. You're going to be the one that has to address the scandal because we're too chicken shit to do it ourselves.
He and Cohen have known each other, God, 15 years minimum.
Pardon my language, by the way. We're not going to handle that. You're going to have to answer all the questions about Cannizzaro's scandal.
Right. Yeah. They don't even do an AD press conference.
Your team's not particularly good.
And they're mentally dead right now.
Yeah. So... hey, other than that.
And he went 9-1 against top 10 teams to make the postseason. 3-4 against Ole Miss, swept Arkansas, swept Florida. 9-1.
Think about that a minute. They go 4-6 against those three teams, which is certainly doable.
They don't make the postseason, and this thing's been over for weeks.
Swept Florida, swept Arkansas, took 2 out of 3 from Ole Miss.
And Cohen's idiocy on how he's handling the search would be times 1,000 because they wouldn't be playing and staying in the conversation.
And he's done all of this during a coaching search.
Yeah.
When you know there's been a handful of times that, well, he's a human. He goes home. People in his life say, so what's happening?
I don't know.
I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, have they talked to you about the job? No, not really. Did you know that they're interviewing the coach at Louisville? Well, they're not interviewing the coach at Louisville. He just wanted to be educated on it. You don't think that's irritated? You don't think that's rubbed Mrs. Thompson the wrong way a little bit, do you?
Henderson,
I mean.
Her, too.
Mrs. Thompson, from what I gather, everybody in the Thompson household has been rubbed the wrong way by it.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I've got a little there. We'll go there later, though. I don't have time at the moment. It's not a Mississippi State podcast. I did laugh at this one. Get rid of one liquor forever. Why'd you choose scotch? I know there are people that love it, but I'm with you. Actually, you know what? I might develop a taste for scotch over the course of my life. I would kind of like to. I have tried it. To me, as at this point, even though I can drink incredibly high-heated bourbons, scotch tastes like you take a glass of something and pour it down a piece of wood where I have nothing but sap in my mouth. That's what it tastes like to me. I can't get behind it. But if you just have to kill one, take gin and have gin and never bring gin anywhere around me.
My answer is exactly the same as yours.
Really? Yeah.
I wish I could like scotch. I've been unable to like scotch.
Yeah.
I don't dislike it, but it doesn't do anything for me other than make me feel cool for drinking it.
I haven't even tried it since New Year's Eve Sugar Bowl weekend.
Yeah.
And it was not my first drink.
Well, your 10th drink.
So, and, you know, yeah, even then I was drinking it going, yeah, I don't know.
Gin. It's just not my thing. But no, there are people who love it.
Yeah. Who wins in a 5-round championship octagon between me and Jeffrey? Neil has a foot on us, so he is excluded from this conversation. I would win. We did that push-up competition, and I beat Jeffrey by a lot. I'm a lot stronger than Jeffrey. I would win. Jeffrey is strangely small when you get around Jeffrey. He would be yelling at me right now and throwing things at me because I have him by like about 6'8" or 3/4 of an inch in height, but he I can still claim that there. So he's been aggressive on Twitter lately. I mean, on text messages too. He's,
really?
Yeah, a little
coming at you.
Well, his golf game's going real well. When that golf game's going real well, it's, you know, it's. Hey, I'll spot you 15 strokes. Screw you. Yeah. All right. Other than ribs, what's your favorite items to smoke and summer drink recipes to go with them? You do. I'm not good at it. I'm envious of your ability to smoke chicken wings. I'm not as good at it as you are.
I'm good at that. Now, I haven't done it in a long time because of things that are beyond my control. But, yeah, no, I'm good at that. I love to smoke a brisket. I love the challenge of a brisket. Love to smoke a brisket. Takes all day. You have to be very patient. You have to get through that when it gets to about 185 and it just sits there forever. You got to just leave it alone. That's a challenge. But it's worth it. And then you have to, once it gets past about 195, you got to watch it.
This is actually a good time with the summer drink recipes to tell you. We're gonna go to Jonathan Howard, bartender extraordinaire. He was going to join the show this week. We've carved out a time now to do it. So we're going to go to Jonathan. We're going to talk some cocktails with him. And then we'll probably come back, answer a couple more questions. If we don't get to you, we'll talk about them later. We'll do something. Sorry. I didn't know whether we were going to get the guest in today, so I had planned to have a little more time for them. But we'll go to Jonathan here in 1 second. Before we do that, today the podcast is brought to you in part by MasterCuts Lawn and Landscape, 662-607-7773. MasterCutsLawn.com is the web address to take care of your yard all year long. They can spray. They can do aeration, pine straw, landscaping, build structures, or more. Maybe you want an outdoor kitchen or living space for the summer and the fall months that are coming up, depending on what you're smoking or doing outside. Again, MasterCuts Lawn and Landscape, 662-607-7773.
We're also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. Grenada Nissan located at just off Interstate 55 in Grenada, Mississippi. They've got a complete selection of new and previously owned Nissan vehicles. Great lease deals. Go in, test drive one today. Tell Gene and Sandy Grass that you heard about Grenada Nissan on the podcast. And you'll get a little extra special treatment there at Grenada Nissan. It's GrenadaNissanUSA.com. Rebel Nation 2018 is the year of the fan. Ole Miss Athletics wants to showcase your stories and recognize you, the Ole Miss fan base. Exciting prizes and experiences throughout the year will be featured on omyearofthefan.com and updated often. So be sure to visit omyearofthefan.com. Podcast also brought to you by Oxford University Bank. OUB, locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB gives you the comfort of home and all the benefits the big mega banks provide, all the technology and products you want, all with the personal touch. When you call OUB, you speak directly with a live person. There's not 10 buttons. There's not a 5-minute wait. They also have Kasasa. It's the best cash checking account you'll ever encounter. OUB pays Kasasa customers 2.5% interest on their balances up to $50,000 and refunds ATM fees nationwide. To learn more about OUB, check out liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured.
Now, Jonathan Howard on the Billy's Pecans Hotline.
Jonathan, welcome back to civilization after a few days of competition and all the preparation that came with it. I guess you were at World Class. Tell us a little bit about it. How did it go?
It went well. I feel really, really good about, you know, what I put forward and what I did. And, you know, it's one of the most encompassing and consuming competitions out there for what we do. You know, it takes months of preparation to get to the regional level, and then onto the national level, it's even more intense of speed challenges and other levels of competitions throughout. There's 5 challenges. So it's draining. I mean, you're up at 5:36. You're like making drinks by about 9:45, 10 in the morning, finishing challenges every day around 4 o'clock. You usually then go away, have a second to breathe, change, and then you've got some level of sponsored dinner around 5:30 or 6. Get home around 10, and then you try to get some sleep after preparations for the next day, and then you do it again. So I'm tired. I'm always tired if I get through this. It doesn't get any easier with age, which is why I said this was my last one. So I feel really good about what I did.
Jonathan's Chase. I'm just kind of curious because I'm pretty fascinated by this. Kind of give me a setup. I mean, do I have certain ingredients I'm working with? Take me through the scene of one or two of these challenges and kind of what it looks like.
Well, we had 5 challenges. There's a speed challenge, which is 10 drinks in 10 minutes, which sounds like, oh, that's easy. But these are like really complex, really differentiating drinks, right? So you've got tall drinks on crushed ice. You got drinks, you want to do blended drinks. You want to do hot drinks. You want to give them a large variety, but they need to be literally some of the best drinks you've ever made in your life. And the difficulty level matters. So you just kind of got to go for it. So you're talking about, I think only 5 out of 15 people finished with garnishing and everything up. So that one's a little hard.
What are a couple of drinks you made during that competition? That part of it.
Pardon me?
What are a couple of drinks that you made during that part?
Oh, I made a drink called Quick 15, which is it's a hot drink. So instead of, like, usually people put hot water in drinks, but I just made an entire cocktail hot. It was Ron Zacapa rum, PX sherry, a like chicory coffee liqueur, an Amaro called Chinar, a little bit of sugar and some water for dilution. Heated the whole thing up, and then I whipped cream fresh to order during the speed round to top it, kind of like you would see in an Irish coffee. And then I had another drink that was Johnny Walker Black, fresh pressed green apple juice, Oloroso sherry, lemon, brown sugar, and salt.
You did all of that in 10 minutes?
That's only two. That's only two
of 10.
That's 2 drinks. 2 of 10, yeah.
How?
I think he garnishes up. I'm not gonna lie. I went at 9:45 a.m. So I was one of the first, and I was second actually in that challenge. And I got all my drinks up. I wasn't really happy with the way 2 of them turned out. I didn't get any garnishes on any of them. But I was told later by the judges that I had one of the hardest 2 rounds they saw all day. So I really kind of went for it, but yeah, I got all the drinks up. They all tasted good. They just weren't properly garnished, and one of them had a little bit too much soda. But again, it's one of those things. But the nerve-wracking part about it isn't the 10 minutes of making your drinks. It's that you only get 10 minutes to set your bar up. So
wait.
Bottle.
But I don't. You know? But I don't understand when you say set your bar up. I'm literally. Chase can vouch for, I'm baffled right now. Does that include doing the apples and all that stuff? You had 10 minutes ahead of time to do that?
Well, they'll do the juicing. The juicing is done for you. But when you walk up to the station, There's nothing. The only thing in it is your garnishes are on the bar top, and then your liquor bottles are in the well, but they're not where you will need them. Right? They just put them somewhere because they don't know exactly where you need them. So it takes 10 minutes to get the bottles arranged to where you want them, and then make sure that, all right, the blender's up and working, the tea kettle's up and working, I've got my garnishing where I need it, let me put out all my coasters with all my glassware, let me grab all my tools, let me put them where I want them, let me make sure that I've got champagne is down and iced, that I've cut, peeled my lemons, you know, got X, Y, and it's a lot. Like, to get all that done in 10 minutes is the hardest part. And the problem and sort of the real challenge of it is that you're in this state of panic to get your bar set up. And so your heart's still kind of pounding when you start making your drinks. Now, there's two ways you can take the challenge. You can either do what I did and just treat people like I'm at my bar. So talking to people, making jokes, being hospitable, or a lot of people just literally put their head down and made drinks. But there's a score that's, you know, hospitality and presentation, which I did really well at, because I knew I would get points there. It's a game of points and stuff. But yeah, that one's like the struggle. But then there's a couple other ones. A really cool one, we call it an eco challenge, but basically creating, we had to identify one issue for waste in your bars and how to fix that issue.
And your bar, it's a lot of the strawware, right?
It's so much stuff. I mean, I used, for that challenge, I took a pineapple and a coconut, and I used every single inch of both of them, including the pineapple skin, in drinks. So I made, you know, I didn't waste anything. And the problem I said I wanted to solve is throwing away flavor, because things like when you juice a pineapple, in, you know, juicer, there's always that pulp in the bottom, right? You get done, there's the pulp. Well, the pulp can be used. A lot of people just throw that away. No, you can use it to make pineapple syrups or shrubs or to flavor alcohols of any kind, you know? So that's not wasteful. The skin of a pineapple, you can make, there's this Mexican beverage called tepache, which uses pineapple skins. I just put it in a shrub. And what pineapple skin actually gives you is this really sort of earthy flavor. And it is flavor. It's slightly bitter and it's earthy, but that's a flavor that, you know, just like anything else, when used with other ingredients, can make something very complex and delicious and stuff like that. So, and then using the leaves for garnish, I used a coconut shell to serve one of the drinks in. I used the water of the coconut and the juice from the pineapple to create a ginger beer. It just, so many things went into that challenge, but I utilized every single inch of both of them. That's the kind of things we do. It's stuff like that.
You've educated us so much on the quality and the types of ice. Were there lots of different available there? Do they bring it in? Kind of how does that part work in these things?
Yeah, there's a company called Kentucky Ice, and they gave us, we had the beautiful 2-inch ice cubes, which, you know, is just sort of the standard for us. If you're going to serve a stirred cocktail on the rocks, your old fashioned Negronis, you just automatically put it on that. It's just, you know, and then they had the proper cold draft ice and really good. The crushed ice, we actually requested that they go to Sonic and get that ice. We actually requested Sonic ice. The bartenders did.
Really?
And so they got us. Yeah. Yeah. And so they went and got a Sonic ice. It was great.
That's great. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And that's the stuff we want. But yeah, there's so many things, like when you present about, like, I mean, you talk about, there's in the speed challenge, I used crushed ice for one drink and then blended with the crushed ice, and I had to tell them why. I used a large cube into a circle for one drink, and I had to tell them why. I only shook with one, I put a large cube in a tin to shake an egg white drink. I used three different cubes in one drink because that's what it needed for dilution, and I used five in another thing. And so, like, these bartenders know those kinds of things. So it's not as easy about, like, just chunking like a bunch of ice in your tin. Like, it's, you really have to make it like you've got all the time in the world, but you don't have all the time in the world. But those kinds of things matter. Every little bit matters. And so I'm relieved that I said I will never do it again, because I don't think I could physically do it again. But yeah, so yeah, they had all the ice. They had all with so much stuff to play with. It was cool.
So you really don't think you'll do it again? That was it? That was your
Nope. I'm done. That was it. I need to move on to the next chapter of life and take care of that beautiful 3-month-old I got. Well, almost 4-month-old now.
Yeah, I'm just you've made me tired just telling me about like two of the challenges. I can't imagine. So, because the hours of preparation is the thing. I mean, you had to spend days and weeks and months on this. So,
yeah, well, every day, like there was another challenge called Spirited Storytelling, and you walked in a room, and the judge handed you an alcohol, a bottle that you didn't know which one you were getting. You knew it was one of like 8 or 10, but then you grabbed that bottle, and you grab ingredients to make a cocktail, and you take the bottle over to these two judges who are two of the most prominent judges and in industry, you know, professionals that we have. And then you have to take them through the what makes that spirit, and then the history of that specific brand of spirit, then take them through a tasting of that spirit, then make a cocktail. So I was doing as much studying as I was physical bartending. I mean, I would get up and need to know the intricacies of Johnny Walker and the intricacies of Ron Zacapa and Tanqueray and Kettle One and Don Julio Tequila. And so, like, knowing when it was started, by who, the timeline, you know, what it's made of, how it's distilled, what fermentation they have, what kind of yeast strain do they use. Like, it was really heady. So you take there's a big mental component about it on top of all the physical bartending. And then just sourcing glassware and putting presentations together. I was like, I just can't do it. I can't do it again. I'm
it's
done.
Like getting ready for the MCAT.
Yeah. So what bottle did you get?
Yeah.
You've
made Don Julio.
Oh, did you?
Okay. Don Julio. Yeah, I got tequila.
Okay.
There's two challenges where I didn't get to pick, plan ahead of time what I was going to make, and in both of those challenges, because of the nature of the challenges, I ended up with Don Julio tequila.
What cocktail did you make with Don Julio?
I made a Tommy's Margarita, which is agave nectar instead of Cointreau, some lime tequila. I put a dash of salt in there, and then I actually did what's called a Royale, where I put a peel of a grapefruit in the tin when I shook it. And I told the story of the first Don Julio Margarita ever made in New York City with a legendary bartender named Doug Quinn, literally breathing down my neck. So, and they know Doug really well. So I just sat there and just made this drink and told stories about Doug. And it was that one I really, really had a good time with.
That's great.
That sounds good.
You have kind of stirred me here. I'm gonna go from really complex to really simple for you, because we got this question. We were doing a little Fireaway Friday today on the board, and I ran into this last night. I was at a place, and I knew the bartenders weren't doing anything crazy, and I was going, okay, it's really, really hot outside. I need summer easy drink, and I'm not a beer drinker. So what do I do?
Yeah.
What's 2, 3, 4? Because my go-to is kind of a vodka gimlet. I'm a really big gimlet fan. But
okay,
what are a couple other ones? See, I'm a vodka guy more than a gin guy. I need to be better at gin. Neil and I were just discussing this. Gin right now to me, and maybe it's my fault, is the one spirit where you could completely do away with it and I wouldn't miss a thing.
It's probably because you had. Was your first gin drink a gin and tonic?
I mean, probably. I don't remember, but yeah, probably.
It was for me,
You probably hated a bad tonic.
Okay.
I would say like a Ricky, like a gin Ricky, or a vodka Ricky, if you want to, which is just a shot of whatever spirit, the juice of an entire lime, put the other half of the lime. Like, you just juice the half lime, throw the shell of the lime in the glass, ice and soda.
Okay.
That's it. Really refreshing drink. Really, really refreshing drink. The mojito is obviously a really awesome, refreshing drink. There's a drink, the Paloma. Tequila, salt, grapefruit soda, or they can use grapefruit and lime and sugar. And soda water. So Palomas, mojitos.
What we're discovering right here, Jonathan, is that someone did not read 10 Weekend Thoughts to its conclusion.
Because I've done all of those drinks.
Ago.
Yeah.
Because you did all of these in one 10.
It was in one?
He basically answered your question.
I feel like I have seen this
about 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, I don't remember anything I read or say at this point. Nothing. I mean, if it didn't happen yesterday,
I
don't
drink
know.
It was warm weather drinks. I did like
that's
the
right.
Best. It was a summer. Well, actually, kind of meal. That was about low calorie drinks.
Oh, you're right. You're right. It was low calorie.
That was low calorie.
You're right.
But some of those drinks are on there because they are low calorie. But yeah, those are there.
Paloma was on there, though.
Kinds of drinks. Yeah, Paloma's on there. Vodka soda was on there. But yeah, like a Ricky, if you just take a half of a lime, get literally half of a lime, like not like the wedge, just like the entire half of a lime, squeeze that in your drink and drop it, and then the soda and your vodka soda is completely different because you're getting lime juice, you're getting the oils from the lime, so it's got a nice little viscosity, super refreshing. And then if you want to stay on the gin train, there's a gin mojito, it's called a Southside, which is also really delicious. Caipirinhas are really good. Or Caipiroshkas as a vodka drinker, which is just some sugar, some muddled lime, some vodka, and then you put in ice, you shake, and you dump it in a glass. You know, there's so many good warm weather cocktails. Aperol Spritz. Love Aperol Spritzes.
Wow.
Aperol, Prosecco, soda, fresh orange slice. Really great.
Yeah. Another question for you from the board. Do you have a big opinion either way versus a bourbon old fashioned versus a rye old fashioned?
No, it's point of preference.
Okay.
Because remember, the old fashioned is not a whiskey drink.
Right.
It's a style of drink.
Yeah.
So it's point of preference. For me personally, I drink rye old fashioned. I like them a little spicier.
Yeah.
I also use brown sugar, not white sugar, which makes it a little rounder than white granulated sugar. So that makes it just a little bit rounder. I enjoy rye Manhattan, rye old fashions in Manhattan.
What are a
the brown sugar simple syrup makes a difference.
What are a couple of your 100% your good ryes that would be available around here?
Man, it's tried Bullet Rye. Bullet Rye is really good.
It is
95% rye. I mean, it's soft in one way and then spicy in another. I love Bullet Rye. Bullet Rye, a Rittenhouse Rye, which is very affordable, and that's 100 proof bottled in bond. Spicy, bold rye. Michter's rye also is really good.
Yeah.
All of those you should be able to get around there.
Yeah, you can.
If you can get your bottle hands on a bottle of Pikesville rye, love Pikesville rye as well.
Okay. This should have been a category in your competition. If you don't have an answer, it'll be okay. But I'm asking just in case you do, because it's combining a couple different topics from the podcast. Question says, let's combine cocktails and history for a question. I figure Jonathan might know of a few. Was there an off-the-beaten-path cocktail or a favorite cocktail of some of U.S. presidents over the past history?
Yeah, George Washington drank mint juleps.
Okay.
The mint julep was founded in first came to sort of prominence and notoriety in 1770 in Virginia, where he was from. So George Washington loved mint juleps, and also he also was one of the world's first American distillers. He had a rum distillery as well. Let's see, there's some other ones. Cobblers were always cobblers, sherry cobblers, Madeira cobblers, port cobblers. That as a drink was very prominent amongst U.S. presidents. It was because that was the drink of the time, and it dignitaries and well-to-do gentlemen and ladies, that's what they drank. So, you know, for sure, like cobblers, and then I know for a fact Washington was a mint julep fan.
Wow. Okay. There you go. I knew you'd have something. So just curious. Neil?
Well, I was looking on the – it's early in the thread. Someone wants to know about – they were talking about favorite things to smoke. What's a they're asking preferably whiskey-based. What's a cocktail that's a kind of a go-to with smoked food, whether it's a smoked brisket or ribs or – you know, your typical smoking
things. The old fashioned. 100% the old fashioned. If you want to have fun, and you want to get smoky with an old fashioned, actually, take like a stainless steel bowl, like a mixing bowl in your kitchen, fill it with water, and then when you got your smoker going, put it in the smoker, the water, and then let the water cool off. Put it into those big ice cube trays, and you can create a smoked ice cube.
Oh, that's cool.
You hadn't thought of that, have you?
You know what I mean?
I've never thought of that.
Smoke the water. Yeah, smoke the water. You can do that to anything. If you want to smoke a Manhattan, you can smoke your vermouth. You can, you know, anything that. If you got a smoker in a stainless steel bowl, you can smoke freaking anything you want.
Someone wants to know, they're still in the bourbon thing. Bourbon is quite hot these days.
It's a big deal.
It's a big deal.
It has officially... whiskey is now the number one sold spirit in the United States, no longer vodka.
Wow.
Yeah, that happened last week or a week after, I think, is what I heard.
Here's their question. They're saying if they're buying bottles, here's their price range, $80 to $120 mm-hmm. for a bottle. What are some bottles that come to mind if I tell you my price range is $80 to
$120? Oh, man. Man, that's getting up there to those, like, big bottles.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, the antique collection from Buffalo Trace, that's your W.L. Weller, your Sazerac Rye, 18-year, your Eagle Rare 15. All that whole line is usually really, really solid whiskeys. There's a bottle called Kentucky Owl 16-year Rye, which is great for that amount of money. Any of the Woodford Masters collections, Birthday Bourbon is probably one of my favorites, and that's going to live in that range. Those are the normal ones. Or get on the black market and bid on some old whiskey bottles, man. You can get 1950 Buffalo Trace and 1965, Four Roses, things like that. Get on the black market and look for things like that. And then there's if they do one-offs. I know Belle Meade Bourbon here in Nashville does all these really, really great one-offs for like $100. But they only do one barrel of or one run of, and they're really cool and they're extremely rare. So try to find like one-offs and things like that that are going to be special and different.
He says
he lives. Kind of be where I would go.
He says he lives in a small town. He doesn't have access to some of the ingredients such as different types of bitters, vermouths, etc. Are there some substitutes for those things that are easily found or made?
Or order them online. You can get pretty much anything online.
Yeah, 100%. You can get anything online. But I would say there's no substitute for Angostura bitters. You don't need, and I don't believe in bitters other than Angostura bitters, orange bitters, and Peychaud's. Those are the three you need. Other than that, it's just extraneous, to the way I make drinks, at least. So if you can get Angostura bitters, get those and you're fine. But to Chase's point, you can get anything online. I mean, you can just Google whatever spirit you want to buy. You can buy it and have it shipped to your house online for sure.
What, you know, the bourbon craze that's become whatever it is, what's next? Is it gin, rum, vodka? In 15 years, what is everybody going to be obsessing about?
Mezcal, I believe.
Yep.
Mezcal. Now, while whiskey has had a boom and then has outgrown vodka, it already had a large following.
Yeah.
Mezcal has come out of absolute obscurity into being almost a standard pour behind most bars and restaurants. I mean, Mezcal, I remember when I started bartending, when one Mezcal came in, we were freaking excited because it's something we'd never had and it was smoky and it was different. Now there's like over 200, I think. I think that's the number. Don't quote me on that, I don't guess, but around 200 Mezcal being imported into the United States in just 6 years. Like, that's crazy. That's crazy growth. You know, there are mezcalerias in the country now that just serve mezcal. So I really feel that is the next sort of place to go, because the mezcals we're getting, most are really, really good, but a lot of them are the white, or I'm trying to think the technical name, I can't because it's early. But when you're gonna start seeing añejo mezcal and rosado mezcal, and that's gonna give people those like sweet caramelized flavors that they get out of whiskey with just that little bit of like agave spice and then smoke. And I really think in about 15 years, mezcal is going to be a really big thing.
What are one or two just kind of base cocktails with mezcal?
Mezcal sub anything that has tequila, just sub mezcal.
Okay.
Or split it. So in your margarita, do 1 ounce of mezcal, 1 ounce of tequila,
okay,
and then follow the rest of the recipe. Or a Paloma, 1 ounce of, or, you know, 1 ounce of mezcal and a half ounce of tequila.
Gotcha.
I love mezcal margarita.
You know what I mean?
Mezcal, yeah, margarita on the rocks is just, oh.
So good.
So yeah. Good.
Yeah.
I think we kind of touched on everything.
Cool.
So what's next? Now that you're retired, are you going to become a judge maybe one day?
I've judged a couple before. I've got a couple things I'm milling around and trying to see kind of what's next. I might just honestly, you know, put the head down and move to the hotel job and just, you know, work on wife and baby and family and, you know, take a break from that before finding out what's really going to be next. You know, the goal is to open my own place at some point somewhere. So we'll see how that goes.
Well, as always, we really appreciate your time. Go enjoy your family, and I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks, boys. Appreciate it.
Later, John. Thanks to Jonathan, as always, for his time. I could spend hours just discussing cocktails and drinks. You know, it's I would just sit at his bar and let him make things and have a bite and go about your business.
I've done that. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, that seems like a thing that would be good for anyone that just likes any type of alcohol, talking about it and letting him educate you, because I told Neil a second ago, he's a scientist as much as he is a bartender. So to move on from that, if you'd like to take a trip to Disney World, Disney Cruise Line Vacations, and more, and who wouldn't? Everybody likes to go to Disney World. Contact Brandon White at Keys to Dream Travel, because it's a completely free service. They specialize in fast pass, transportation, dining, and more, and they will help you get out of line and onto more rides no matter the crowd. You mentioned the podcast, get a $25 Disney gift card for booking the vacation. So, again, no reason not to give him a call and just see what he has to offer. You can do that at 901-634-8687 or Brandon at keystodreamtravel.com.
Jonathan Howard and other guests join us on the Billy's Pecans Hotline. Billy's Pecans in Crenshaw, Mississippi. Their product is phenomenal. The people are great. The cinnamon spice pecans are just fantastic. My favorite is the simple toasted pecans. They have pecan pieces, pecan halves. If you want a sweeter pecan, a lot of people do, and they'll take care of you. Milk chocolate, dark chocolate, white chocolate, chocolate amaretto, chocolate Grand Marnier, which are fabulous. They've got the gift bag assortments where you can try different ones. They've got all sorts of goodies as well. Pecan toffee, the cheese crispies, pecan brittle, the pecan cinnamon pecan coffee cake, blueberry pecan coffee cake. All of that at Billy's Pecans. It's billyspecans.com, 1-800-624-7404. We're also brought to you by 7 South Tailgating. Excuse me. 7 South is celebrating 10 years of business this season. If you try 7 South Tailgating once, you'll never tailgate without them again. They're just fantastic. They'll set up your own personal gear. You can rent everything from them. No one matches their customer service, their attention to detail. Whether you're coming up for 7 games, for just the league games, for just one game, whatever. No matter whether your tailgate is pretty simple or whether your tailgate is really complex, get in touch with 7 South. Kyle Thornton and the people there, they'll take care of you. Again, if you try once, you'll never tailgate without them again. 7SouthTailgating.com.
So, any of that you're going to take with you? Try now? You got any ideas?
Yeah, I'm gonna play around with that. Cut the lime in half, squeeze it in, drop it in. The Palomas are good. I'm also going to try the...
I'm not a big tequila person.
See, I really like
it.
I'm going
to
try
that. I had a margarita last night just because I didn't trust the bartender to make much, so I just went with a margarita, but...
Were they using that sour mix, or did they use?
No, it was okay. Just regular, whatever. I had known that going in. I knew I wasn't just machining it out of a thing. But
I love mezcal. I'm part of that movement
because I had a feeling I was going to say gimlet. And they're going to go gimhu, and I was going to go okay.
Yeah,
avoid my.
Yeah,
you know.
Then they think you're being a snob, and it kind of goes to hell.
Well, it's like I went into one place in town. I think I've told the story last year, and I was like, do you have any absinthe? And I was trying to order Sazerac, but I need to know if they had any absinthe before I did that. And she goes, no, but we have Absolute. And I went, what? What? It's like, well, never mind. I'll have a beer. Well, thank you.
There are a couple of bars in Oxford, minimum. St. Leo's, your favorite place.
Snack bar,
thank you.
Yeah.
The bartending.
Both places do absolute fantastic cocktails.
The bartending is fantastic.
It is.
Cocktails are great.
There is a huge drop off from those two and maybe one more that I'm forgetting to everyone else.
Yeah.
I mean,
I can think of one place in particular that people rave about. I will not name it. Don't ask me. Don't email me. I'm not.
They make old fashions with so much orange and so much soda that I feel like I feel like I am drinking alcoholic Sunkiss that are flat.
Yeah, I feel like I'm drinking Tang.
Yeah, that's about right.
It's
like at the point where they're making it, you want to stop them and go, okay, what are you doing?
Because that's not what I ordered. Now, that one particular place that people rave about, and I'm not naming it, I think it is the single most overrated place in Oxford.
They're where I have developed my thing that so many people have started ordering old fashions that don't like old fashions, that they make them poorly to suit the masses. That's where I get that hill to die on from that I have talked to Matt Moscone about on the show before. And I do believe that. I think there are places that make old fashions watered down and poorly because so many people now think they like old fashions, that they make them that way. That's what I think.
Could be.
I guess what Mad Men gave us. Great television and crappy cocktails from a lot of places. That's what I believe. Because Mad Men comes out and they're drinking the old fashions. And everybody goes, oh, I want an old fashioned. Well, no, you want a watered down orange thing that has some alcohol in the bottom of it.
Yeah.
It's like, you know.
Put some cheap bourbon.
Yeah, I got to stop before I get
put some cheap bourbon in.
I got to stop before I sound really, really snobby.
No, it's. This just kind of.
Well, I was taking it one step farther, so I'm stopping. Okay. I'm just going to quit. Yeah, anyway. I don't know. Now I'm bothered, see. I would love for Jonathan Howard to fall in love with Oxford and move here. Yes, that's a Fireway Friday question. That'd be fantastic if he would like to do that. We would frequent his bar.
Yeah. I'd be there more than I'd like to admit.
Ooh, this is
I'm telling you, I hung out at his bar on a Friday night and could have just stayed for hours and hours. And not to get drunk. It was.
Oh, you're just kind of chilling, talking.
Just so good. I liked watching him make drinks for other people. It was, for me, it was cinema, frankly.
You know, this is this question on here. It's a category that Oxford doesn't have a great answer for unless, again, I'm forgetting something. When you combine quality of cocktails and the ambience you're kind of looking for, best bar for a date in Oxford because the really good bars don't have intimate ways to sit in their establishments. It's kind of a problem in a way. Because like, if you got a snack bar, if it, you know, you're not probably not getting a booth if it's anywhere close to dinner service. And that big, long table... That becomes a disaster depending on how many people are sitting there and how big they want to spread out and just in general from a privacy standpoint. St. Leo, it's packed. It's small. There's not room to really have much area at the bar to have a conversation.
Right.
There's not the little cozy hut bar place in town where you're whatever. What?
I'm laughing about it. I was thinking about a St. Leo story.
You telling it?
Trying to decide. So we were at St. Leo.
All right.
And we were sitting at the bar.
When was this?
This is last spring.
Okay.
It was a year ago.
All right.
Roughly.
Do I know this story?
I don't think so.
Okay.
It's a funny story, though. And I was in one of those like moods where just it's cool, whatever. I'm just chilling. You know what I mean? I'm not keeping up with anything. There's nothing on. There were... baseball regionals going on, I think. Ole Miss did not make the tournament last year. Is that right?
That is correct.
There were baseball regionals on TV, and it may have been super regionals, one or the other. And they're up on the TVs.
At St. Leo?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, the bartender at St. Leo's, Joe, knows that I'm a big NBA guy.
Okay.
And he said to me, do you want me to change one of the channels? And I said, no, it's all good. Whatever. Leave it, whatever. I'm not watching. Okay? Leave it, whatever. I'm not watching. So he left it on baseball. And a guy next to me, an older guy, who's there.
Sitting at the bar.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just literally minding my own business.
Yeah, I've seen you in social settings. You're not going out of your way to find the dude at the end of the bar and have a conversation.
I'm enjoying a cocktail. Actually, at that moment, I remember thinking what I'm going to try next because I know Joe was going to, my cocktail's nearing its end.
They do a good job. It's all good.
It was great. I knew he was going to come to me and say, what would you like? And I didn't want to do the deal where I make him stare at me for 3 minutes while I decide. So I was trying in my mind to think, what do I want next? Do I want another one of these? Do I want to try something a little different? What do I want to do? That's what was going on in my mind. And the guy next to me says to me something about the baseball game that's going on that I'm not watching. Not because I have anything against baseball, but because at that moment, I'm not watching and I don't care.
Okay.
Did you see that? I said, no, I wasn't. I wasn't watching. That's all I said. I wasn't watching. I wasn't keeping up. A little while later, I get up to use the facility.
Are you eating at the bar, or are you waiting on a table, or are you just drinking?
We were just drinking.
Okay.
And I get up to use the facility, because sometimes people have to use the facility. And when I came back, Laura was acting a little weird. I didn't think anything of it. I thought maybe she's being weird, whatever. And that couple leaves.
Okay.
And she goes, I'm trying to decide whether to tell you this or not.
Well, at this point.
Now you have to tell me. If you're going to say that, you have to tell me. Otherwise, I'm going to start guessing and stuff. She goes, he figured out who you were. And he said to me, do you know him? Now, the giveaway that she was sitting at the bar.
With you.
With me is probably a giveaway that, yeah, she knows me. And he goes, she goes, yeah, I'm his wife. And I quote, well, he's an asshole.
Yeah.
And it's like, why? But why would you say that? Why would you say that to someone?
You shunned him when he wanted to know about the Fullerton freaking Louisville game that was on the television.
He was mad that I didn't want to sit there and talk college baseball with him.
Well,
that's exactly what it was. So he
was just trying to come in and have a drink and have a conversation with, you know, some people about the game it was on. Because it's been a bit of a dang Bucks T-Wolves game. You'd have
had
a conversation.
Can you imagine if I'd said, yeah, could you flip that to Rocket Spurs game 3?
You might not have to worry about him. Head might have just exploded right there. Just
so, no, that's what I said. As soon as I found that out, I was like, damn it. I wish I'd changed that channel.
Yeah. Is there a D-League game on we could flip this thing to?
Yeah. Is there some sort of a summer
that
camp?
Reno team that always shoots the threes, are they playing?
You know that Adidas camp that they have? It's like, you know, AAU camp and ESPN9 will put it on. Can you find that?
You have the package, right?
Cedar Rapids is playing Sioux Falls right now. I was wondering if you could find that.
God, there's a story we can't tell. Okay, no, I can't. Maybe Monday. Let me think about it for a couple of days. I'll tease people here.
Oh.
This is a very recent one from like a week ago. I don't think you know where I'm going.
I don't.
Okay.
I do have my other NBA story. It was the Saturday or Sunday. It was Saturday after the Tunsil.
You don't know this, I don't think. Okay, go ahead.
Saturday after the Tunsil thing, I'm in a certain establishment, one that we just referenced.
Okay.
That I won't talk about. And I asked him.
But why?
Because I just don't want to. It's not
no, but well, why are you there?
There was a party. I had to go to.
Go ahead.
And Ole Miss had already played, and all of the TVs were on like Kentucky LSU baseball, and maybe it was Kentucky somebody else, maybe it was LSU somebody else. I don't remember. The Thunder and the Spurs were in the playoffs, and it was Game 1 of the Western Conference semifinals, I think.
Sure.
And I said, would it be possible for you to turn one TV? I don't care which one. Pick, and I'll go find it. I don't want to put anybody else out. Would it be possible for you to turn the TV to the NBA game, the Thunder and the Spurs? You would have thought that I had asked. I was kind of wondering, would you mind taking this shiv and shoving it in your mother's neck? And then twisting it until she bleeds to death. For me. He said, yeah, give me a little while.
Give me a little while.
So I did. I gave him like 20 minutes. And then I said, I was just wondering, just one TV. And so he reluctantly did. I mean, he's pissed off. And a guy that's down the aisle from me in this spot, who is watching a baseball game and has a TV directly in front of him, still on the baseball game. But now the TV that's one over from him is no longer showing said baseball game.
Same game.
Same game.
All the TVs in the same game.
Some of them are on softball.
Oh, okay, whatever.
Which is beyond my comprehension. No offense. And some of them, most of them are on college baseball. Not Ole Miss. Had it been Ole Miss, I would not have asked. Okay? I would never have asked. I would have said, it's a local deal. Everybody's locked into it. I get it. But come on. He goes, why are you watching that crap? Excuse me? Why are you watching that crap? NBA. And then he made a kind of another comment. And I just said, why does it matter to you when you've got in front of you? Literally, I got up to use the facility, came back, and my channel had been changed. It was like back to softball, and I was like, yeah, screw it, never mind. I looked at my score, the Thunder were losing by 20-something. I was like, yeah, that's just, well, I don't want to watch anyway. Thunder won the series, though.
Did they?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was Durant's last year.
Yeah. When's game four?
I don't even know.
Okay. I've not watched a second. I don't know.
Stanley Cup ended last night. Congrats
did. Washington
to the Capitals.
Won.
Yeah.
Glad they broke the curse. It was all curse.
It was all the curse. The curse is over now. So now the Nationals are a real threat in the National League.
Yeah. Changed last night.
I've actually seen people saying that. I'm like, do you really? There's just no what?
Yeah. All right. I'll might get some of your questions later. I don't know. We'll see. Maybe Monday. We don't have a lot to talk about, so there'll be time for more cocktails, foods, and questions. Appreciate Jonathan giving in some time. He's had a long weekend, was tired, but was a trooper on the show today. So thanks to him. We'll talk to you again on Monday.